Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 19th of November. Quite honestly, I'm not sure how it's Thursday either. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I mean, the main reason I come on this show is to find out what day of the week is.
I know that Dave can tell us all about how the drops precipitously, you know, after I say today is Thursday, everybody goes, oh, okay, we're good. Today is Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Confirming everything you just said and also realizing I got to go somewhere. It's Thursday. I had no idea. Thanks for having me.
So, Charlotte, I would like to start with you and an article that you wrote that involved a ton of reading about everybody's new computers.
Yes. So as I like to do when Apple releases a big new product, spent a bit of time going through some of the releases and reviews from other sites. And so there was a load of them that came out all at the same time. This is the way Apple sets the date at which these review units can be, that they can be published, the people that got hold of a review unit. And there was a bunch of quite interesting ones. But basically, the general theme was everyone really freaking loves these machines.
That's definitely the feeling I've gotten from looking at some of the reviews.
Let's start with the most effusive and go from there.
Okay.
Joanna Stern at the Wall Street Journal said they are the best Mac laptops ever. Frankly, the best laptops ever, period.
All right.
I don't know quite where we go from there. This is not someone who is easily impressed. Dieter Bohn at The Verge said he was yet to run into any sort of performance problem at all on the M1 MacBook Air. Neelai Patel at the same site was pretty impressed with the M1 MacBook Pros, the thermal design, and said the battery life was excellent. Again, Matthew Panzerino at TechCrunch said that the battery life will blow you away. You're getting the theme. People love these machines. But, and you knew there was going to be a but, because I always like to throw a bit of grit, you know, a bit of grit in there. There were two issues that kept turning up. One, the main one that annoys me, mm-hmm. is the webcam is still horrible. Everyone noticed it. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's time for them not to be 720p anymore. And the other thing is a lot of the people who tested it out said the ability to run iOS apps on these machines is not yet where it should be. I think one of those reviews said they should still be calling it a beta of tool because it's really still quite clunky. So,
okay.
Look, that to me, that's fair enough that this is a new thing. Apple probably needs to see how it works in the world to improve it, and that's absolutely fine. But that is something for people to note. It's a feature we can look forward to more in the future than a thing for now. But the things people should know is apparently it seems almost impossible to turn on the fan on the MacBook Pro. The MacBook Air is more powerful than it has any right to be, and basically everyone loves these
that
machines.
Is true. Yes, I'll share more details about that in a minute. Yeah. but I agree that's an excellent way to say it is more powerful than it has any right to be, calling it an Air, calling it the low-end computer.
This actually makes me sort of excited about the one I ordered, because I ordered the Pro and it'll be here Monday. And I'm very much looking forward to it. And part of it is because of reading all these reviews and sort of seeing the stuff that you talked about, Charlotte. The only place I would disagree with you is that I think it's past time for there to be more than a 720p camera in the top of that screen.
Yeah.
So
can I add something there?
Yes.
I was going to say this later, but the camera, it is. So I have a new Air, M1 Air, 16 gig 512. I was very fortunate to have it delivered a week early. I don't know who smiled upon me, but I feel like someone did. So whoever that is, thank you. The camera is 720p, and mm-hmm. I agree. There's it would be better if it were 1080p, but it has been upgraded significantly in that it is 30 frames per second instead of 15 frames per second.
And the brightness and whiteness have been improved as well, haven't they?
Big time. And I was going to say, you two have experienced this more than me. I mean, I did some recordings of it, but I joined a Zoom call with it yesterday for our daily staff meeting. And you got to see that it's not as bad as it used to be. Like, it doesn't feel like you're on the crappy Mac camera.
So that
has gone away. It's not like, oh crap, I want to go grab my Logitech or whatever to join this Zoom call.
Sure.
Like, they have solved that problem. And my guess is that as they change the form factor, remember, these are literally in the same cases as their predecessors. I mean, I had an acrylic case that I put on my Air, and I just put it on this, and it fits perfectly because it's literally the same case. My guess is that the camera is sourced and to fit that case, and there might need to be a change to make that 1080p.
Absolutely. I presume that to be true, but I feel like it's cheating to go, the camera's better now because we threw processor at it instead of just using a better camera and moving on with our lives. So, yeah,
but
maybe it'll
iPhone,
come with an M2 when they can make a thicker screen. I don't know.
Sure. But so much of the camera, I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole, but so much of the camera goodness, lusciousness, excellentness that we have been seeing, especially in recent years, deep fusion and those sorts of things on the iPhone, are far more about the software than they are the hardware, right?
Oh, I know.
So I don't want to fault Apple for throwing more software goodness at the camera on the Mac, but yes, I also agree. Like, let's let the hardware catch up too.
Yeah,
I think what you actually just touched on, Dave, is perhaps the most important thing from these reviews. You said, you know, these are the basically new processor in an old case. And that, I think, really, we shouldn't overlook quite what a remarkable feat it is to have computers of this quality, seemingly from your accounts and the reviews I've read and watched, at the first time of asking.
Yeah.
That is a serious achievement. A lot of the reviews, for example, mentioned that they basically couldn't notice when something was a native Apple running through Rosetta 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
The smoothness of this transition, I think, does need noting because it's hugely impressive.
I have some things to say about that. Kelly, do you want me to do that now, or do you
No,
want
I would
to
like to jump in first and okay. Shift gears for a second. But then, yes, I do. And the thing that I will point out about that, I will do when I'm done here. But right now, I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is MacPaw Software, and they make a product called Clean My Mac X. It is really the letter X. It is not 10. So it's cleaning and optimizing software for your computer. Macs do need constant maintenance, even Dave's new MacBook Air. This is a utility that helps you declutter, and it will run maintenance scripts for you that are things that happen sort of behind the scenes. It's a very user-friendly app. If you want to see what it is that is firing up all those fans, if you're using an Intel machine, then you can do that by using the optimization feature of Clean My Mac X instead of trying to figure out what the activity monitor is trying to tell you. Instead, you can uninstall stuff you don't need. It'll do basic malware checks, and it deletes old temp files and log files and all of that stuff, and it makes it a lot nicer in general to use your computer. So you can find out more about it and download it for free at macpaw.app/TDO. That's macpaw.app/TDO. macpaw.app/TDO. We would like to thank MacPaw for sponsoring the show today. Now, the thing that I did want to tack on about this is that I interviewed Ken Case last week. I think it was. I don't know. What day is it now?
It's a week ago today. It was a great interview.
Last week's interview.
I enjoyed listening to it in the car. Yeah.
And thank you, Dave. So Ken talked about how there was a point where they sort of were accidentally building the Rosetta version of some of the apps and testing it on the M1 hardware and didn't really notice the difference between the two. And so it feels like that, like one of the big things I got from talking to developers I know, and I feel like I'm legally obligated here to say, for John Martellaro's benefit, the plural of anecdote is not data. However, everyone I've talked to has said how smooth Rosetta 2 is when they're trying to use it for something in practice. So that was one thing that I heard that made me feel a lot better about making this transition myself. So
it also seems that users are not noticing.
Right.
Even users that were, you know, tech reviewers at big tech sites who would notice if and know if something is clunky and know the reason why.
Yes.
Are noticing that it is not clunky.
Yeah, and I would actually argue that this is perhaps one of the times when the plural of anecdote is data, because what we're talking about is human experience. It's like we're not wondering, oh, how many extra processor cycles did this take to do because it's running inside this Rosetta container or whatever. It's what does it feel like to you as the user? And there was one moment the other night where I had reset up my Air, not because I had any problems, but just because I wanted to set it up fresh, and then I wanted to do Migration Assistant.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And I launched Slack, and I thought, that's weird, because I saw it bounce like an extra time in the dock, and then it hit me, oh, this is the first time I'm launching it in this build of, you know, this installation of Big Sur on this machine. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's doing its first time launched conversion, you know, translation for Rosetta. And then it doesn't need to do that ever again. And to be fair, it doesn't. But I mean, I noticed it only because I was hyper aware. It wasn't like it took an extra long time. It was like, wait, is my Mac, like, there was just that one little thing, like, this is different. And then it was like, oh, I know why. But it's immaterial. And then, of course, after the first launch, it's truly immaterial because it doesn't happen again.
Right.
And you don't know when, I don't know when I'm running a Rosetta app versus an Apple app as it is. And you can see this activity monitor on Big Sur on Apple Silicon gets a new column that you can add, and it's an architecture column.
Oh.
So you can look there and see if you aren't running that yet and you want to see which of your apps are universal. You can do that too. If you go into System Preferences apps, you can see the architecture and it'll say, or the kind, and it'll say, you know, Intel or universal. You'll see lots of universal Apple apps on Big Sur for obvious reasons, but you can sort by the the developer and sort of ignore the Apple stuff and then look at the rest. And I think that's another important thing. When I do that on my computer, it's astounding the number of universal apps that already exist. And I'm not talking about Apple's apps. Certainly I expected that. They said as much. I'm not talking about the developers that are like the indie shops that, but you know, like the Omni groups of the world and those sorts of things. I'm talking about the one-off little shareware, freeware apps like Coconut Battery and Time Machine Editor, like these things that clearly are not a source of revenue, let alone a primary source of revenue for their developers. These are just hobbyist things that are useful and excellent, but clearly these people are making their money somewhere else, right? And those apps are already universal, which tells me, and I've heard this from the folks like at iStat Menus, which of course is universal too, that their feeling is that for most developers, it truly is just a flip of the switch. You check the box in Xcode and your app now compiles universal and you're done. If you're doing interesting things that sort of go beyond Apple's, you know, core frameworks, you might have to do some extra little work. You know, I know Rogue Amoeba is working on, you know, some of their apps are totally fine and were easily ported. And then some that use, you know, like extensions or other additions to the system, those need a little more massaging for obvious reasons. But the fact that there's all these little shareware apps that are just instantly universal from someone that only updates their app once a year anyway is pretty impressive. Yeah. So Apple has done a great job paving this path. But the experiential stuff, I think, really matters. When I was doing that second install of Big Sur, you know, I went through the process. I started the install. And of course, things are different there is no more command R for recovery mode. It is hold down the power button and get a menu of things that you can do. You don't have to
Dave
remember.
Dave is very excited about this.
You don't have to remember 42 different key combinations that you can do on, you know, 14 different Macs. It's one. You just hold down the power button.
You have to find the other. You have to find a device that's working to Google how to get into recovery mode and remember.
That's right. Yeah. And that's frustrating. Yeah. So I went through that and I added a volume. I did not erase my volume because I hear there's some problems with bricking your machine if you do that. So don't do that until Apple fixes that problem. But I added a volume and I started the install and it said it's going to take an hour. And it took about 45 minutes in the end. But, you know, it said it's going to take an hour and 4 minutes or something. And I was here in my office and I have a little couch in my office that I was sitting on while I was doing this. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm going back over to my desk and going to do some other work. And I threw my laptop down, my new Air, on a blanket. And I thought, I had that moment of, oh, wait a minute. I like, don't put your laptop on a blanket, especially while it's going to be doing a thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait a minute. I would never have that hesitation with my iPad. This thing manages heat like an iPad because it's sort of an iPad. And it has no fan. I don't have to worry about it. I'm leaving it there. And I left it there. So that freedom of not worrying about that will take some getting used to for me.
Sure.
But, you know, like that is one of those, it's a little thing, but it's huge. The instant wake from sleep, another little thing, huge.
Yeah.
Right?
I have to say, I don't think those are little things. I think they're really quite significant changes to how we will interact with future Apple machines. Marcus Brownlee, in his video review, it's entitled Time to Recalibrate. And this is kind of what you're getting at. We need to think about these devices differently. This is no longer the MacBook Pro I had 5, 6, 7 years ago that if I wanted to work on my lap, I had to put a big book underneath it. Otherwise, I would singe my skin.
Yeah, you needed a heat sink. Right? Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. No, that's the thing is it is the little thing. And that's my working title of my little write-up that I have is it's the little things, because by and large, I pick this thing up and it doesn't look any different than the Mac I used to use. It doesn't feel any different. It doesn't really act in a macro way, no pun intended. It doesn't act any differently, right? I started up, it's running Mac OS. It's a familiar environment. I do all the things that I would do, but there's all these little things and some of them are, oh yeah, I haven't had to charge the battery in a couple of days. Like that's cool.
Wow.
You know, and I don't have to worry about, I saw Jim Dalrymple last night and he was joking with me. Yeah, saw him on a Zoom call, not in person, obviously. And he's like, he was kind of joking. He's like, oh, I hear the battery life sucks. And I said, yeah, I can't even get a full day. You know, 24 hours is, it doesn't last, you know, but it almost does. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
the reviewers noted how good the battery life is and that it's likely, and maybe you can give some insight, as more apps become native and whatever else, the battery life is going to even improve. As stuff is more primed for the M1 chip, for Big Sur, for all those things.
I think that's probably right. I think there's some efficiencies of properly, not just like the Mac OS does a lot of, and iOS too, you know, it does a lot of the heavy lifting for developers to decide how to best manage their apps, desires, and power at the same time, right? Yeah. But it makes some guesses. And of course, it has to make conservative guesses because it can't know what an app needs unless an app is written specifically to say, this can be a low power, low priority, low speed device, this or action. This needs to be an immediate action because the user's waiting for data and things like that. So I think you're right. As Apple learns more about this, although they know a lot because of iOS, and as developers incorporate these sorts of things into their Mac apps, I think you're right. Things will improve. It's really hard to tell what the CPU is doing. iStat menus does work on this. It identifies 8 cores. It's very clear that 4 of them are different from the other 4. 4 run more regularly. The other 4 are quiet. But I can't yet tell which 4 those are, the low power 4 or the high power 4. It's impossible to tell. So there's no real rhyme or reason to it. Like sometimes I'll see the 4 that run all the time, running all the time. And then other times it's like, no, they're sleeping. Like, but I'm not doing anything different. What's what has changed. So it is new, and especially from that angle, it, like you said, the recalibration is a great word, because we have to throw out the window all of the things that we would do. Right. As technical people thinking about how to manage our computers, or certainly manage computers of others, there's a lot to learn. I will say Wi-Fi 6 on these. Finally, we have a laptop with Wi-Fi 6.
This is my question. Yeah.
It's really nice to see Ethernet-like speeds when downloading stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm routinely getting, 80 megabytes per second, so 800 megabits. Now, I have a gigabit connection here, so, I'm sorry for anybody that doesn't. Only on my downstream. My upstream is only 40 megabits, so whatever. I can do testing. Yeah, the tragedy, right? I can do testing on my local network back and forth, and it does. It'll do, realistically, it's more like 600 to 700 megabits in either direction. But if you're in a prime environment close to the access point, then yeah, you get over 800, which is great. Wow.
Yeah. It sounds great. I'm really looking forward to it. Part of what I noticed overall in the reviews that Charlotte was compiling was, as weird as this sounds, like people being impressed. Like, these are people who are, like Charlotte had mentioned sort of before, like these aren't people who are impressed by a new laptop, right? Like, I've seen new laptops for 5 years, 15 years, however many years, I've seen new computers, I've seen new processors, I've seen new things. Like, my whole job is what's the new thing. So like, these are people who it's kind of harder to impress, and they seem impressed. And so that's part of what I'm looking forward to with mine. So
totally.
We will see.
And that's it. But it's this recurring, I know, Charlotte, I agree with you. They're not little things, but it is those little things that are like, oh, right, that's impressive. Yeah. Cause otherwise I'm just using my Mac.
Right. Well, it's not a thing you think about, because we've spent so long waiting those few seconds for the screen to come on, or waiting.
Correct.
Waiting for that thing to happen that is now instantaneous. Like, we're just so used to that 3 to 5 seconds or whatever. Yes, it doesn't seem like that long, but as soon as it's eliminated, like, you really do notice. So,
I'm going to do is, before I hand my 2018 Air over to my wife, this weekend, or maybe next week, once I feel like I'm used to the new Air, I'm going to go back and run on that one for a day. And hopefully that'll give me some perspective here.
Oh, yeah.
Because getting faster, I'm sure it will. is always easy to overlook. Getting slower, you never overlook.
You never notice. So that's going to do it for us. If you have more questions for Dave, or if you are getting a machine and you want to tell us about why, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and leave comments in the show notes. Charlotte, thanks so much for being here today. I appreciate you reading all those reviews for us.
I really enjoyed it, and I hopefully will get our hands on one of those machines soon.
I hope so, too. Dave, thanks so much for coming by and talk to us about your new laptop.
Yeah, this has been fantastic. Thanks for thanks for letting me ramble. Appreciate it.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.